Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Please be seated. Peacemaking is a very powerful thing. Many of us, I realize, feel an acute sense of powerlessness right now, in the face of cruelty to our immigrant neighbors, of state violence that is always there in part to send a message, and of government officials telling us not to believe what we see with our own eyes. What can we do? I cannot answer that question for you. The gospel does not actually say anything about letters you can write or which rallies to attend or even who to vote for. Jesus instead teaches us how to love, what it can mean to suffer for that love, and the power that we have when we choose the path of the peacemaker. Now, to understand peacemaking, I think we need to start with the question of what it is exactly that God expects of us. How do we say thank you to the one who liberates us from oppression, who loves us unconditionally, and who desires that we live and that we love with our whole hearts? How are we to respond? What do we give back as a way of saying thank you? Well, the conventional wisdom at the time that the prophet Micah was writing, what we can call the standard religious response at the time, was this: we owe sacrifice. And that was a good answer. It's not a bad answer now. It was the right answer then. Shall I come before God with burnt offerings, with thousands of rams, or even my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. The problem with this is that before long, it becomes a transaction. The question is, God has done all of these wonderful things for us. So do I need to pay up, either with offerings or even with shame? Will shame make God happy with me? Will that work? Will that satisfy God? That is not what God asks of us. And that was Micah's great innovation. It was an ethical and spiritual leap. Goodness and grace are not transactional. I think that if we think that God likes a good tribute because we happen to like a good tribute, because the world that we live in and know so well, you know, likes the wheels to be greased just so. If that's how we think God sees the world, then friends, we are missing the whole point of grace. That is not what God asks of us. God wants us to be filled with so much awareness of goodness and grace that we choose to live ethically and lovingly, to use Bishop Curry's wonderful blessing that we love God, that we love our neighbors, and that we love ourselves. He has told you, O mortal, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. So it turns out God really does expect something of us. God wants us to live in right relationship with our neighbor, in loving relationship with God, and in a healthy relationship with ourselves. That's the humble part. This call to righteous living is exactly what we need right now. It is an answer to a vision of Christian religion that is far too prominent, that is power-based, that is rooted in a kind of transaction. It is an antidote to shame-based discipleship. But there is a little bit of a catch. To love justice, love kindness, do justice, walk humbly. I think that it is far more than an identity. I think it is a discipline. Micah gives us a faithful lifeline away from a religion that is shame-based and really just propping up systems of humanity and greed. And we rightly hear these words from Micah, and they are balm because they speak of righteousness and how we should be living today. But we should also be careful when we hear it and we begin to feel a little bit superior. When we should be careful anytime we hear ourselves say or think the word, I'm not that kind of Christian. Because while there's something to that, the minute we take on the baggage of judgment or resentment or superiority, then you see we give our power away. And we need that power. And we risk becoming just another tribe. At a time when our world needs peacemakers. A true peacemaker is very powerful. Just look for a moment at how Alex Preti has changed our world in the span of 8 days. His death is a horrible tragedy, and I am not for 1 minute going to say that his sacrifice was justified. It should have never happened. It should have never been needed. Preti came in harm's way when he shielded with his body a woman who ICE agents had assaulted. We've all seen this on camera. He never brandished a weapon, as our government immediately claimed. He was disarmed and then murdered in broad daylight. We have all seen this. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when people persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. Alex Preti was a peacemaker. His actions and then his sacrifice have shattered a widespread apathy among many and laid bare how ICE is deploying violence to intimidate and enforce something that not a lot of people in our country actually want. The Beatitudes, which we read this morning, show us something different from what our world shows, something that we can hold up and see in the example of courageous folks like Alex Preti, that show us that God shares a standard by which godly life can be measured. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are the peacemakers. And a peacemaker, my friends, is very powerful. And I think that the Beatitudes teach us how to be a true peacemaker, how to channel our love for God's children and our anger at injustice into something that can truly move mountains. Blessed are those who mourn, the meek, the hungry. Blessed are the poor in spirit. To be a peacemaker is to share God's heart for those who suffer, for those who have lived their whole lives as lesser than, those who live in fear because of the color of the skin or the ID in their pockets or who they love. Blessed are those who do not know where they will get their next meal. Blessed are those whose only source of income has moved out of town or out of the country, leaving their community devastated. Blessed are those who are lonely, those who are sick or dying. Blessed are those who live with the ravages of mental illness. The list of what it means to be poor is endless. And any one of these can fit into the wider category of poor in spirit. But it especially speaks, in the words of Warren Carter, of people who are materially poor and whose spirits are crushed by economic injustice, deprivation of resources, and few options. To the world, they are forgotten or untouchable. They are shameful or deplorable. They don't own, so they don't count. But to God, because they have nothing, they are blessed. To be a peacemaker is to share in God's love for the poor in spirit. But peacemaking can be thankless work, and indeed it can be dangerous work. We are beginning to wake up to the risk that comes with being a true peacemaker. This is not new, it's just new for many of us. The question is, what do we do? What do we do when we are made to suffer for our witness? What do we do? Do we take it and do we take that suffering and we ball it up into a package of resentment and let it eat away at us from within? Or lead us to take that package of resentment and harm others right here? You take it, your problem now. To be a peacemaker is to be courageous. But perhaps the greatest courage is not to stand on a protest line, though that is vital, but instead to take that anger and transfigure it into love. Because that is where the true power of the peacemaker lies. Blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. Jesus speaks directly to those who suffer and to those who have been made to pay a price for their witness or their integrity or simply for being born into the wrong household. And he looks at them with love and he tells them that they are the blessed ones. They are the favored children of God who, yes, loves everybody, we know that, but who holds them, the poor in spirit, the meek, the persecuted, with a special affection. Those who can see the world through the eyes of the blessed have true power indeed. It is the power to bind up the broken. Indeed, it is the power to change the world. A peacemaker is very powerful. Today is our annual meeting. You probably figured that out already because you're here at 10 o'clock. Well done. And today I want to honor you and I honor this place, not only as a community of love and a house of worship, but as a place for peacemaking, a place where we gather together as both the poor in spirit and filled with the abundance of God, a place to anchor our transformative love, a place to bear witness to our city of God's presence and grace. Trinity is a sacred place where we come together to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk with God gracefully, humbly, and faithfully. A peacemaker, you see, is the most powerful thing in the world. Blessed are the peacemakers, for through their faith, through their love, and sometimes even their sacrifice, they make manifest the healing power of God. Amen.